Today's shir is Masechta Ksubas Dav Zayin. We will begin on Dav Vav Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. We have been discussing in our previous shiurim the halacha if a bia, the first bia of a husband with his kala, may it be done on Friday night on Shabbos. All sorts of issues, as we've learned, that come up regarding making chabur on Shabbos, making the concern of Mekalkel b'Shabbos. Various Hilcha Shabbos were all discussed in these shurim. So the Gemara asks, on the opinion that we've learned, that we may not do the first bia on Shabbos. Ask the Masuf Ravami. The Mishnah Masechet Idyos teaches us, Hamafas Mursa b'Shabbos. If somebody has a pus bubble in his body, and he tries to open it up, im lasis lepeh, if his intention with doing this is to make an opening for it, that it should, the two things should happen. One is that the pus should go out, and the other is that the air should enter this opening, which will help to make it heal. So Rashi explains that if that's his intention, and he does it in a nice fashion, he makes the opening professionally, then it's chayif because of binyan. Because even on human beings, explains Rashi, there is a concern of binyan. Another explanation that Rashi Masechta Shabbos gives, that this is considered the malacha of makom patush. Same lasis lepeh, if he made it with that intention, and he also made it in a nice fashion, then the halacha is he's chayiv, he's going to be chayiv on Shabbos, as we just gave the different explanations of what malacha is involved. However, im loitzman aleicha, if all he wants is that the pus should get out, and he doesn't have any need that this opening should remain, potter. The halacha is potter, and Rashi in Masechta Shabbos says, the beginning of the Masechta, that wherever in Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara uses the word potter, it means pata velosa. That means it's not awesome at the Raisa, but it's awesome at the Rabbanim. However, here, explained the Rishonim, that here, mapis mursa, when it's not intended to make a full-fledged opening, the halacha is that it's potter. Even though, Rashi explains in Masechta Shabbos, there of Shimon Gamliel, who's lenient, is with Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, will agree that a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is also Midrabanan. Here, that it's the Makom Tzar, he's suffering from this. So when it's a situation of Makom Tzar, Chazal were more lenient. Others explain, going back to the subject that we discussed extensively in our previous year, and they hold that here we could be more lenient because it's a Psikresha Deloi Nichalei. So we see from here that when you open up the Mapis Mursa, you're opening up that the blood and the pus should go out. And we just learned, if your intention is just that it should go out, then it's mutter on Shabbos, because it's not considered chayvel. Why is it not considered chayvel? Because the blood is really not considered completely attached to the body. And since the blood is not considered completely attached to the body, it's mifkat pocket. The blood in the pus bubble is considered mufkut pocket. It's not considered chiburi mechbar, and therefore it's not osur and Shabbos. So if that's the case, the same thing should be with the dam besulim. This should be a proof that dam besulim are only mifkat pocket. They're not chiburi mechbar. And also based on this Gemara, we should be able to learn that you're allowed to make such an opening on Shabbos. It's not considered making a chabura. So why, according to Rav Yeshiva, does Shmuel hold that one can't do bia on Friday night on Shabbos? Answers the Gemara, we cannot compare the blood in a pus bubble, the blood in the pus in a pus bubble, versus the dam besulim. Hasam, when we speak about the mapis mursa pocket, it's not absorbed in the body, v'okr, and it's really meant to come out. Hachab, pocket, it may be indeed not completely absorbed in the body. However, it's loy okur. It's not completely detached. And since it's not completely detached, then there is an isser of taking out this blood on Shabbos. Says the Gemara of Ami, Shari Lamival Batchil B'Shabbos. Ami allowed that the first beer should be done on Shabbos. Amalei Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan asked, how could such a case be, how could have you permitted that? There was no ksuba written in that situation. And as we're going to learn in Am Sechta, if a kala doesn't have a ksuba, she can't remain with her husband. So how could, even if we're not going to have an issue with doing a bia on Shabbos, but there should be a different issue. And that is that a chassan cannot have relations with his wife, the kala, without a ksuba. Amalhu, so what he said to him was, atfusa metaltlin. If the chassan has metaltlin, let her take the metaltlin as a mortgage for the ksuba, and that's how they can remain together. Rav Zid Sharlam Mivah B'Tchil B'Shabbos. Some say that Rav Zid said, you're allowed to do bia on Shabbos. Ikad Amri, Rav Zid Gufa, it was Rav Zid himself that Baal B'Tchil B'Shabbos, that you held that you're allowed to do bia B'Shabbos. So here the Gemara teaches us that if a woman doesn't have a ksuba, the halach is she may not remain with her husband, but until a ksuba is written. But here, if at fusu metaltlin, if they designate metaltlin for that purpose, they can remain together. The Rashba, however, says that this Gemara that says at fusu metaltlin only means for temporary. You have a situation where the ksuba isn't there, so at fusu metaltlin, they can remain together. But it's not something that we rely on a permanent basis. Moreover, Taisa says that in a situation of a tfesua metatlin, the husband also has to accept them upon himself. That if something's going to happen to those metatlin, if they go down in value and they're not equal to the amount of the ksuba, he'll make up the difference. So Rambam says that if this was done in front of Edim, that at tfesua metatlin in front of Edim, then you don't need to write a new ksuba. The Taz, however, disagrees. He says that only before chuppah took place would this be a valid option. After the chuppah took place, it's not considered a valid option. The Rishonim ask, but how could this be permitted to be done on Shabbos? Haven't we learned, and we just discussed this the other day, that on Shabbos you're not allowed to make a kinyan? So when the husband designated the matatlin for the kala, that's a kinyan on Shabbos. And we know a kinyan may not be done on Shabbos. So the Ramban says that this is letzorich mitzvah, in order that they should be able to get married, and that's why Chazal were lenient. The others explain that this actually took place on Erev Shabbos. On Shabbos, you would not be allowed to do this, the Ramban suggests. The Rashba explains that indeed, if there was a full-fledged kinyan, it would not be allowed to be done on Shabbos. What happened over here was that they just designated and said that you could collect your ksuba from these metatlin. Since it wasn't a full-fledged kinyan, that's why it was allowed to be done on Shabbos. The Gemara says that Rav Zvid shar l'mivel b'sul b'Shabbos. So the Pnei Yeshua says that Rav Zvid lived in Bavel. And the fact that even in Bavel, they allowed to do the bia on Shabbos, it goes back to a subject that we discussed at the end of our previous year, when we discussed why indeed bia may be done on Shabbos. And the Gemara said the reason bia could be done with a psul on Shabbos, because there are people who are baki batia, the people that could do bia without breaking the psulim, and that's why it's not usur. Here, we see, and that they said, were experts in that in Eretz Yisrael. Here we see that even in Bavel, where they didn't have this expertise, was mutter. And the reason must be that the Gemara at this point is holding that whenever it's a situation of mechalkel b'chabura, mechalkes that we quoted between Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon, whenever we have a mechalkel, when it's a situation of mechalkel b'chabura, we have a right to do that. The Chibina Rav, in the question that we asked, how could you be matfis metaltlin on Shabbos, where we asked that you now do mekach u'memkem Shabbos, so the Chibina Rav says, the reason mekach u'memkem may not be done in Shabbos is because if you're going to do a business transaction in Shabbos, you may ultimately come to write on Shabbos. Says the Chibina Rav that in this case, they knew not to write. The proof that they knew not to write was that they took the metaltlin instead of doing anything else. They didn't write the ksuba. So when is business prohibited, says the Tribune Rav? Business is prohibited in a situation where we're concerned that you may end up doing business, but we may end up writing. But in a situation such as ours, where it's clear that we need not be concerned that he's going to end up writing, the halacha is that it's not that that's not asur on Shabbos. The Gemara Masechta Beya, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, quotes a machlokes by Shammai and Beis Hillel. We know that on Yontif, Meleches Oichel Nefesh is permitted. As the Torah Gedosha says, Ach Ashiyachel Chal Nefesh Hu Levadoi Yosel Lechem. Then on Yontif we could do Melech Letzorich Oichel Nefesh. But then the Gemara quotes the machlokes by Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel's opinion is, the Metoich Shehutra Letzorich, that since this melacha could be done letzorich eichel nefesh, hotra nami shaloi letzorich. Whereas Beis Hillel's opinion is that we don't, Beis Shammai's opinion is we don't say that. And only when what you're doing is specifically being done for tzorich eichel nefesh, then it's permitted. If it's not letzorich eichel nefesh, it's not permitted. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda shalom mila b'tchil b'yontif. Rabbi Yehuda allowed a first bia to take place on yontif. Amra papim shmei de rova, loy tem b'yontif shari. Don't say it was specifically on Yontif that he was lenient. Habe Shabbos asur, but on Shabbos he would hold its asur. Hu adenafil b'Shabbos namishari. Even on Shabbos he would be lenient. The story happened to happen on Yontif, and the Gemara is quoting the story as it happened. The Papa Mishmei, the Rav Amar, b'Yontif shari. Only on Yontif was Rabbi Yehuda lenient, but b'Shabbos asur, on Shabbos he was not lenient. So Rapapi said to Rapapa, my datach, what is your reasoning to differentiate between Shabbos and Yontif? Maybe you're going to say, b'toch shehutra chabur l'tzorich, since on Yontif we can make a chabur when it's l'tzorich mitzvah. In other words, we're allowed to kill it, as we said. What is the isser of making chabur? It's the isser of shechita. But on Yontif, we're allowed to shecht a behema in order to eat it. So hutra nami shloi l'tzorich. That's why chabura becomes mutter, like we said, the opinion of Beis Hillel, metoch shehutra l'tzorich, hutra nami shloi mitzorich. Ask the Gemara if that is indeed the way you're paskening, el ma'ata mutter lasis migmar. The halach is, you should be able to put incense on top of the fire. They used to put incense on top of the fire, and they used to put their clothing on top of that incense, and that's how the clothing absorbed the smell of the incense. So you should be allowed to do it on Yontif. Because what's the issue of making a fire? But the halacha ought to be, the metach shotra avol letzorich, since you're allowed to make a fire when you need to cook for eichel nefesh, you need to bake, so the halacha ought to be, hotra nami shaloi letzorich. The halacha should be that it's mutter, even shaloi letzorich. Ask the Amalei, so a papa said to a papa, alecha, regarding the question that you're asking, you have a basic misunderstanding in the pasuk. Because the pasuk says, "Amakra ach ashiyachal l'chol nefesh." That what is included in the heter of oichal nefesh, dava shachav l'chol nefesh, something that everybody could enjoy, but not everybody uses mugmer. And since not everybody uses mugmer, the halacha is that it's not considered heter. That's not considered letzarich oichal nefesh. So we see from So now the question is that the Rishonim ask that this concept of mitoich is already taught in Masechta Beya. So what's the Gemara saying that you're basing it on the halacha of mitoich shehutra, that that's your halacha? Isn't it something that Beis Hillel, as we just said, learned already in Masechta Beya? So the Rishonim answer a number of terutzim. One terutz that they give is that Rav Papa really holds that the reason Beis Hillel isn't lenient is not because of mitoich. It's rather because he held that there is no isser hoitzah on Yontif. In other words, the Gemara Masechta Beya, where Beis Hillel is lenient, he's lenient of carrying something that's not letzorich eichel nefesh. So there's two ways of understanding Beis Hillel. One way of understanding Beis Hillel is that Beis Hillel's opinion is that mitoich. But the other way of understanding Beis Hillel's opinion is that Beis Hillel's opinion is that there's no issa to carry on Yontif. If there's no issa to carry on Yontif, we don't rely on mitoich. Another pshat that Taisa suggests, the only time the Gemara at this point felt that Beis Hillel holds mitoich is only in a situation where it's always done. But something which is not normally done, we don't say mitoich. The chiddush of Rapapi in our Gemara is that we apply the concept of mitoich even on things that are not normally done. The Ritva says that only the Tzarech Mitzvah can we rely on Mitoich. But Al Gemara is not even talking about Tzarech Mitzvah, and he says that you're allowed to do it. So Rashi's opinion is that what does Mitoich teach us? The Mitoich Shotra Tzarech, Hotra Filu Shaloi Tzarech. That means even if there's no purpose in what I'm doing, since this is a melacha that may be done for Eichel Nefesh, the halacha is you're allowed to do it without any purpose at all. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that even though Beis Hillel teaches us this concept of Metoich Shotra L'Tzayruch, Chotra Nami Shloi L'Tzayruch, doesn't mean that you could do something that has no purpose at all on Yontif. What it means to say is that there has to be a Tzayruch Tzas. So even though it's not L'Tzayruch Eichel Nefesh, but there is a Tzayruch carrying the keys. Even if it's not L'Tzayruch Eichel Nefesh, there is a Tzayruch. But carrying keys that you don't need at all on Yontif, Tosfos paskins, and that's the way we paskin, may not be carried, you can't carry it, and can't say mitoich. The Karban Nisanel brings up a very important issue. The Karban Nisanel says, v'loi ucho l'sapek. This is the Karban Nisanel, in Masech de Beyo, on Perek Beis, Simen Chof Aleph. He says, v'loi ucho l'sapek, melahalas a sefer. I can't hold myself back from committing to writing Hamachshela b'Yisrael, the terrible sin that there is in Klal Yisrael, Shtiyas Tabak b'Yontif, people smoking in Yontif, because we're learning in our Gemara that we only learn mitoich shetru l'tzarech chutru nami shaloi l'tzarech, but we learned it has to be a davar shavu chal nefesh. Everybody enjoys it. So ask the Kabban Nisanel. Not everybody smokes. So since not everybody smokes, we don't have. It's not a davar shavu chal nefesh. If it's not a davar chal nefesh, so how are anybody allowed to smoke on Yontif? So the Kabban Nisanel, and I saw the Pnei Yeshua says it as well, that they felt that smoking was actually healthy. And since they felt that smoking was actually healthy, so if so, it is a davar shavu chal nefesh. Because even the individual who doesn't smoke certainly wants to do things that will make him healthy. And that's why the Kabban Nisanel says there are people who think that they're allowed to smoke, but he says that it's absolutely incorrect. And v'toivlehem, I just read the words of the Kabban Nisanel, v'toivlehem l'yireh shemai Hashem, it's appropriate for yireh shemayim, sheyimnu yoyim yamayim l'kvayr Hashem v'tarosai. They should refrain the days of Yontif l'kavad Hashem and his Torah, not to smoke. They will be considered tzaddikim. They'll get schar for holding themselves back. And he ends, the people should follow this psak. There, as I said, achronim that said that it's considered healthy, and that's why it's considered davar shavu chal nefesh. However, most poskim, I saw Rabbi Yoshev Zatzal and the Tzitz Eliezer, and I even saw that there's a letter from the Chafetz Chaim to this effect. Once they recognize that we all realize that smoking is dangerous, there is no heter of mitoich to smoke on Yontif. So if we're learning now that the only thing that may be done on Yontif is something which is a double shovel chal nefesh, if somebody has the opportunity to have a deer on Yontif, should not be allowed to shecht it. Since not everybody eats deer meat, it was expensive, only wealthy people ate their meat. Hachinami dosel mishkatei, because it's not a davar shavu chal nefesh. Amalei, so answered the Gemara, no davar tzarech chal nefesh kamina. I said it has to be that everybody can enjoy it. Tzvi, eating deer meat is something that's shavu chal nefesh. Everybody can enjoy it. The fact that somebody doesn't have deer meat because he can't afford it doesn't mean that he wouldn't enjoy it. And that's enough to make it a davar shavu chal nefesh. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Hoy Rav Yaakov B'tzaydan, Rav Yaakov and Tzaydan Paskin, also live B'tchil B'Shabbos, that one may not do the first bia on Shabbos. So here we see that they wanted to say the deer is osur. The Havamin of the Gemara was, says the Rajba, that it has to be something that people always use. And the Maskon of the Gemara is it's as long as something that everybody can enjoy. That's enough to make it into a davar shava l'chal nefesh. And that's why Tosfos explains, bia is considered a davar hashavul chol nefesh. So ask Taisus if that's the case. The Gemara Masech Debeya teaches us, osel chabas haner, one may not extinguish a fire, l'tzarech davachet, there's light in the room. He wants to be able to do bia, so why don't we say, based on the heter mitoich, they should be allowed to extinguish. And our Gemara is saying that bia, if you hold its mutter on yontif, its mutter, even though it makes a chabura, because the halacha is that we're relying on the mitoich. So Taisus answers, there's a difference between the first bia and the other bia. When we're saying that we rely on the concept of mitoich, it's only for the first bia. The other bias, it's not. Another pshat that Taisus gives is there's a difference between oichel nefesh and mechshirei oichel nefesh. So Taisus says that when we say that oichel nefesh is mutter on yontif, it's only something which is actually oichel nefesh. Something which is only done in preparation for oichel nefesh is not considered oichel nefesh. The candle on Shabbat, the candle on yontif is, that's preventing us from doing bia is not the actual oichel nefesh. It's only the machshirei oichel nefesh. It helps us be able to do the bia. Since it's only considered machshirei oichel nefesh and it's not considered actual oichel nefesh, that's why we may not do it on yontif and not rely on the concept of mitoich. Ask the Gemara. So the Gemara just said that Rav Yaakov Baridi said that Rav Yochanan was hoira. He said that one may not do a bia on Shabbos, the first bia on Shabbos. But ask the Gemara, the word hoira is only appropriate to on when we're saying a heter, not when we're saying an iser. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, the definition of hoira means that a question was posed to a Rav, and the Rav worked through the question, and then after working through the question, was able to say it's mutter. That's called a hoira. But when it's osur, then it didn't require the Rav's study. It's if we don't know what to do, we're saying it's osur. So ask the Gemara, how could the word hoira be used to describe something that's osur? Says the Gemara, in. We can even use, the Gemara says, the word hoira when we speak about Isser. Because the Gemara says, Vatanan, the halach is that a Mishnah in Masechta Nazir, that if somebody accepted upon themselves the Zeris when they were in Chutz Laretz, and then they came to Eretz Yisrael, Beis Shammai says that they have to keep another 30 days of Naziris, and Beis Hillel says you start from the beginning. And says the Mishnah, the Masechta Nazir, V'hoyer Beis Hillel Shetei Nazir, Oit Shem Shon Macheris. The Gemara over there speaks about Helena and Malcolm, whose son went off to war, and she said, if my son will come back from war healthy, I will be a Nazir for 7 years. After this, and she did that. And after the 7 years were up, she moved to Yisrael. And Rabbi Hillel said that the days that she kept Naziris in Chutz Laretz don't count. And the reason Beis Hillel holds that is because Eretz Amim is Tameh. And of course, one of the primary halachas that apply by a Nazir is that they have to avoid Tumah. And that's why he said that she has to keep the Naziris all over again. So here, Beis Hillel was being a Machmer. Beis Hillel was saying something is Asr, and yet the Mishnah uses the word Hayra. Another place, says the Gemara, where we see the word hayra is used l'isser. Kiyata Tanya, chuta shedra shenifsak. Berubai, if most of the spinal cord is broken, the animals are treif, according to Viremeya. Rav Yaakov Amar filo nikef, even if it just has a puncture, even though it's not mostly broken, the animals are already treif. And says the Gemara, v'hayra k'rav Yaakov, v'hayra rebbe k'rav Yaakov. Again, a situation of isser, and they're using the word hayra. Amar Afuna, says the Rav Huna, ein aloch k'rav Yaakov. The aloch is not like Rav Yaakov that it takes the stricter approach. Ella, the aloch is like ein aloch k'rav Yaakov. The aloch is like Rebbe. The Gemara says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Masna Hochni, Am Ravu Shol Rav Shmuel ben Yaakov the Mintzoris Reichem at Sidon. Rav Shmuel asked Rav Yochanan, V'anoshemai, and I heard it, and I Rav Avu heard this discussion. Ma'al liva b'tchila b'Shabbos. Can the first bia be done in Shabbos? And Amalei, and Rabbi Yochanan told him, it's Asr. But, says the Gemara, even though we're having this back and forth discussion, Hilchasa, says the Gemara, the Allah is mutter level b'tchil b'Shabbos. A first bia may be done on Shabbos, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch and Ayur Chaim Simin Reish Pei Sif Beis and the Evan Ezer Simin Sif Samach Gimel Sif Aleph says that mutter level b'tchil b'Shabbos. One is allowed to do the first bia on Shabbos, and there are many explanations why. One is that it's called a mekalkel, even if he's intending to make an opening, it's considered an act of kippel. Another pshat is because, as we learned, it's mifkat pocket. The blood is really not considered absorbed into the body. And since it's not considered absorbed into the body, it's not considered an act of chabura. Also, it's dovashen miskaven, that blood will come out. And it's not a psik ratio, because as we learned in our previous year, mentioned in today's year, there is a way of doing bia with avoiding any dam on Shabbos. We begin a new sugya, Baruch Hashem, and that is the sugya of Birkas Chasanim. That when a chas and a kala get married, as we know, we make a number of brachas. The Gemara Masech, the kala says, Menayil Birkas Chasanim in HaTorah. What is the source that we do Birkas Chasanim? Because the Pasuk says, as Besul and Lovin sent off Rivka, the Pasuk says, V'yivarchu es Rivka. Others say, Taisa says, that the source is when Boaz, as we're going to learn, when Boaz married Ruth, he gathered together 10 people in order to be able to make the brachas. The Gemara further in Masechta Kala teaches us, Kala b'loi bracha, if you have a Kala which didn't have Sheva brachas, is osel l'bal kanida, may not have relations with a husband. The bracha that we make is to be made l'chatchila before the nesu'in. And it's made on a kais. There's a big discussion in the Rishonim when we speak about these brachas, what kind of a bracha is it? The Rosh learns it's a brachas hashvach. The Rambam learns it's a brachas hamitzvah. What is the nafkamina if we hold it's a brachas hashvach or we hold it's a brachas hamitzvah? The halacha is, what will be if a chassan did kedushin with the kala after he did the kedushin before the bracha? Can the bracha be recited after the act of kedushin? According to the Rambam, that the bracha is a birchas hamitzvahs, so once the mitzvah was done, it's too late to make the bracha. If, however, we learn it's a birchas hashvach, so the birchas hashvach could be said like the Rosh holds even after the actual mitzvah was done. The other question is that who should make the bracha? So again, if we hold it's a birchas hashvach, so anybody who's standing there could be the designated individual to make the birchas, to make the bracha, because it's a birchas hashvach. So he's saying the shvach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of the entire assemblage. But according to the Rambam, that's a birchas hamitzvahs, the halacha is that it should not be, just like by every mitzvah, if I'm doing a mitzvah, I ought to be the one to make the bracha. So according to the Rambam, the chassid should make the bracha. However, the minig is that the Masada Kedushin makes the bracha. And there are two reasons given by the Paiskim why. One is Kadesh Loi Levayish. If every chassid, according to the Rambam, we're going to make the bracha by himself, we'll have a chassan who unfortunately can't make a bracha. And if he fortunately can't make a bracha, it'll be quite embarrassing. And according to that, that's what halach is, that we make consistent whether the chassan does know how to make a bracha or does not know how to make a bracha. He should make the bracha. He should ask the Masada Kedushin to make the bracha on his behalf. Particularly, as I saw Ratzvi Pesach Frank Zatzal says, Ratzvi Pesach Frank indicates that the bracha of that we have a rule of Kol Yisrael Reben Zel Azeh. Whenever you're obligated to do a mitzvah, if it's not a bircha sanenin, if it's not a bircha of eating food, I can make the bracha on your behalf. So here too, I can make the bracha on behalf of the chassan. The Masada Kedushin can make the bracha on behalf of the chassan with the concept that we just discussed of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelozeh. Says the Gemara. I'm Rav Chelba, I'm Rav Huna, I'm Rav Ava Bar Zavda, I'm a Rav, Achas Psul of Achas Amana. Whether Psul gets married, whether Amana gets married, the halacha is that we have to make the bracha as we just discussed. Ask the Gemara, Omi Amar Rav Huna Hachi, is that indeed the opinion of Huna? Ask the Gemara of Amar Rav Huna, Amana, the halacha is that Amana doesn't have to have a bracha. Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Kam b'bracha should not sell Amana. If it's a single man marrying an Amana, then it's a great level of simcha, and that's why the Sheva Brachas must be recited. Kan ba'alman shenasa almana, but if an alman married an almana, there the level of simcha is not that great. And as the Rashba explains, the purpose of the bracha is to express our simcha. But when there isn't such a high level of simcha, that's why the bracha doesn't need to be recited. Ask the Gemara, is that true? If an alman marries an almana, there is no need to make a bracha. Ask the Gemara of Amar of Nachman, Omali Huna Banosan, Tana, we learned the Masechta Kala, Menayel Brichas Hasana Basara, how do you know the Sheva Brachas has to be done with 10 men? Shenemar, the Pasuk says by Boaz, V'yikach Hasara Anoshim Mezikna Yir, V'yoyim Meshuv V'poy V'yeshvu. They sat there for the Sheva Brachas. And certainly, says the Gemara, Boaz was a man, Alman Shenos Almana Hava. He was a man that married an Almana. Boaz was previously married, and Rus was previously married, and yet they made the bracha. So the Rishonim ask that Rus was previously married, but she was married to a non-Jewish man. So why is she considered almana? There's no kedushin when she was non-Jewish, and when she's not Jewish, then she didn't have kedushin. So why would she be considered an almana? So the Achronim give a number of answers. One answer that they give is when the Gemara here speaks about an almana, it doesn't mean an almana in the traditional sense of the word that she was married and she became a widow. Rather, the definition of almana is that she's a bu'ula, that she already had relations. And if the woman already had relations, then for these halachas she's considered an almana. Others want to suggest that Rus already had geiris when she married Machlon. So she was considered Jewish. Of course, the question is, if she already had geiris, why did she have to have geiris again? Umayya enetuna bracha, says the Gemara, really an alman marrying an almana does require a bracha. My enetun bracha dam rafuna. What I, Rav Huna, said that there is no need for sheva brachas, says the Gemara, there is no obligation to make a bracha for all 7 days. The first day of the Sheva Brachas, the halacha is to a bracha that bracha will be required. There's a very big discussion in the Rishonim. What does it mean that Yom Echad to a bracha? Does it mean that if they got married by day and now the wedding suda is taking place at night, so it's ready not that day, you don't make a bracha? That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Yeruchim. The Beis Yosef disagrees. The Beis Yosef holds, whenever we have the first meal that this couple is eating as husband and wife, then the halacha is that you have to make sheva brachas. And the Beis Shmuel says that any meal that takes place between the Schosson and Kala on their first day of marriage, even if they have multiple meals, the halacha is that you make sheva brachas, even though it's an alman shenasa almana, you make sheva brachas by every one of the meals. So in other words, there's one opinion that holds you can only make sheva brachas by an alman that married almana in that period that they got married, if by night, only that night, by day, only that day. There's one opinion that says at the first meal, and there's one opinion that says any meal during the first 24 hours after marriage, they make sheva brachas by alma that marries an almana. Ask the Gemara, Ella, according to what you just said, Hadatanya, we learned earlier in our Masechta. Shoktu Chachamah Tekonis Bnei Yisrael, Chazal were concerned about Jewish girls, that Sheisamechim HaShlesh Yomim, when somebody marries an almana, he shouldn't go out to work immediately, so he should at least have 3 days with his kala, b'mai. So the question is, who is that halacha speaking to? If we're speaking about a bocher, so we just said Sheva. When a bocher marries a girl, there's 7 days of Sheva brachas. Viba Alman, if we're speaking about an Alman, Ha'amr Jem Echad. It's only 1 day, answers the Gemara. Ibais Ema, Ba'alman should not, Ba'alman. We're talking about an Alman that married Mona. Yom Echad, 1 day, the amount of time that we say Sheva brachas is only 1 day. But Shloisha, Simcha, they're two separate halacha. One is halacha bracha, and one is halacha of simcha. Bracha is only 1 day. Simcha is 3 days. Vi b'yseima b'bachar, shiva l'bracha. For 7 days, we make sheva brachas, but as far as simcha, there's only a chiv of simcha, according to this pshat, for 1 day. So the question that we need to understand is, here we're saying that by alman marrying an almana, we have 3 days. By a bachar, marrying a single girl for sure, there are 7 days. That's why the halacha is that a chassan is not allowed to go to work. But there's a very interesting shaila that the Paiskim discuss. This is not the only place where we find that somebody is not allowed to go to work. An oval, Rachman Tzlon, is not allowed to go to work while he's sitting shiva. So the question is, if somebody's a partner in a business and he's an oval, and his partner is not an oval, is the business not allowed to be open or not allowed to be open? Many people, what they do is before they begin the shiva, they sell the share of their share in their business to the partner, and therefore it's not their business. But that's not a simple heter. So the Paiskim differentiate between a chassan and an oval. A chassan, it's not that his business is not allowed to be open. We want the chassan to be engaged with his kala. So we tell him, don't go to work, because if you're going to go to work, you're not going to be engaged with your kala. The fact that the business is open, so that doesn't stop him from being involved with his kala. Whereas an oval, the halacha of an oval is that we want that the oval have nothing in life other than the avelus. And therefore there, we have to be more machmer. The question is, what's going to be if the kala is meichel the chassan? If the kala says to the chassan that you could go to work, may he go to work or not? And most paiskim are of the opinion that unless it's a dover of it, and unless he has permission from the kala, it's a dover of it, and also it's only till chatzos, until midday. That's the psak of the Shas HaTshuvas Chaim V'Sholem from Chaim Pelagi. The Chibina Rav says that we could only be lenient that he should do, that he's allowed to work at the house. But to leave his home, to go to his store, or go to his store, or to his place of business, the Chibina Rav said that is not permitted. Washing clothing, certainly if it's clothing that's needed for the chassan and kala, they need clean clothing, we could be lenient. The Paiskim discuss, what about learning? They said, learning, again, if you have the kala's permission, you're allowed to learn. But I saw that the Shevet Alevi says that even though we could be lenient in letting him learn, the halacha is that one should not get that involved in learning. He should learn something which is easier to learn, not something that he's going to be so busy learning that he won't be busy with his kala. Furthermore, the Shevet Alevi, this is in Chelek Tes Siman Resh Ayin Dalet, says even though the chassan and kala are supposed to be busy with each other, and as we learned, not with anybody else, says the Shevet Alevi that if they're doing things that represent the new home that they're building. For example, that they're going to buy furniture or other such items that are needed for the house, the halacha is that one is allowed to do so. The question is, here we're learning that when a bocher marries a psula, they make sheva brachas all 7 days. We're going to discuss in Mitzvah Shem in the coming shiurim, the halacha of who has to attend the sheva brachas in order to make those brachas. The shaila is there an obligation to make a sheva brachas meal in order to be able to say Sheva Brachas? Or is the halacha that if you have a meal and you have the Panim Chadashos and all the other requirements that we're going to be learning, the halacha, then you make Sheva Brachas? So the Rav Pa'olim says that if there's a possibility, if the Chasan and Kala have the ability to make a Sheva Brachas every day, it's appropriate to do so, but it's not something that's chiyuv. It's not something that they're obligated to do. It's something that's appropriate to do, but not something that they're obligated. It's not something that they're obligated to do. Says the Gemara, Meisvei. So we just learned that a bacha that married a mana makes Sheva Brachas all 7 days. Meisvei asked the Gemara. The Brisa says, "Mevarchel psula shiva yomim." We make when somebody marries a psula, we say Sheva Brachas all 7 days. A mana, for a mana Sheva Brachas is said yom echad. My love, doesn't it mean that a filo and mana shenisus lebachar, that a mana who married a bachar, the halacha is you only do 1 day. It says Maloy, it's talking about an almond. Avel a bachar. According to this, if an almana married a bachar, my what would be the halacha? That Sheva Brachas would be recited shiva. Ask the Gemara if that's the case. If that's the case, hechi listeni mevarchel psula shiva or a mana shenisus lebachar shiva or a mana that married an almond yom echad. Answers the Gemara, the reason the Braisa did not quote the halacha that way, because milsa psikta, Tani. The Braisa wanted to be very clear. The lek psula the batzim shiva, there's no case of an almana of a psula who has sheva brachas for less than 7 days. The lek the almana, and there is no almana that has batzim yom echad, there's no case of an almana that has less than 1 day. But almana, sometimes it's 1 day when she marries an alman, and sometimes it's 7 days when she marries a bachur. So because that's an unclear situation, the halacha depends on what happened, that what was the situation, that was the case that the Braisa avoided speaking about. Gufa, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna, Banosa, Tana, Menayin Lebarachas Asanam Besara, how do we know that there should be 10 people attending the Sheva Brachas? Shnema V'yikach, Boyas took a sar nosh mazik na'ir, and he said, Shvu poi, he said, sit there. And as the Rishita quotes, presumably what happened there was that it was for the purpose of Sheva Brachas, so we see that you have to have 10 people. The Yeshua Yaakov says, from here we see that the chosin cannot be one of the 10 people, because the Gemara says that Boyas took 10 people besides himself. So this seems to be a proof that the chosin cannot be one of the 10 people that you need to have at a Sheva Brachas. Ravu Amar Mihacha. Ravu says, how do we know that they should have 10 people at the Sheva Brachas? Because the Pasuk says, B'makaheilois Baruch Alkim, Hashem Mimka Yisrael. That whenever you're giving a bracha, Baruch Alkim, you have to have a kohol. And the amount of a kohol is 10 people. Rav Nachman, the pasuk of Makahelos, what does he learn that pasuk? He says, he uses that pasuk to teach us another din. How do we know that the fetuses who were in their mother's womb, Amru Shira, that they said Shira when they went through Aliyam, when they went through the Yamsuf, Shenema, the Makahelos, Baruchu Hashem, Baruch Elokim Hashem, Mikol Yisrael. Ridach, if that's all the pasuk wanted to teach us, it would be enough to say mibeten. Why does the Torah use the word mekar to teach us al iske mekar? The pasuk is teaching us that the iske mekar was said. They were saying shira about the celebration of getting married. And I saw that the Sefer Likutei Yehuda quotes the Imre Emes that the pasuk says that Miriam, when she said Shira, the pasuk says, the pasuk says, V'tan Lahem Miriam. V'tan Lahem means that he spoke to the men. Lahem is Lashon Zachar. But we know that Miriam spoke to the women, not to the men. So how does the pasuk say, V'tan Lahem Miriam? So Imre Emma said, well, we're learning in our Gemara that the Ubrin said Shira. And some of those fetuses were males. And since some of those fetuses were male, the halacha is that you, we see that the Ubrim said that the Ubrim said Shira. Rav Avua, the High Kod Rav Nachman, the pasuk that Rav Nachman used, that we saw that boy is gathered to that, together 10 people, my Dorsh Bey, what does he use that pasuk to teach? Says the Gemara, Hum Boy Lehu Midrash, he needed to teach us, we know what the pasuk says, Layova Amoni Me'ovi B'kal Hashem, and at that situation, Boyers taught us, Amoni V'loy Aminus, Me'avi V'loy Me'avis, and as we explained when we learned this in Masechta Yevamos, because why were Amoni and Me'avi excluded from Klal Yisrael? The reason they were excluded from Klal Yisrael is Al Dvarash LaKidma Eschem B'lechem V'mayim, they didn't come out to greet us. Men are supposed to come out to greet us. Women don't come out to greet men, and therefore they weren't punished. And that's what they needed to say publicly, because Boaz was now going to marry Rus, who came from Moav, to say what I'm doing is 100% permissible. This Agadatach B'Brocha, if and the proof that it has nothing to do with Hilchas Sheva Brachas, says the Gemara, because Leisagi Delav Zakenim, if it's for Sheva Brachas, we don't have to have strictly Zakenim. The Aloch is anybody could say it. From here we see that it has to be that it had nothing to do with that. Says the Gemara, Vidach, and Rav Nachman, Isagadatach Lemedrish, if the whole purpose was to publicize that they should, that they're, that there's no problem about Moini Vilay Aminus, Ma'av Vilay Ma'avis, Lesagi Delay Asara, do you have to have 10 people? Says the Gemara, in. Yes, you need to have 10 people. The Lefarsim Milsa. If you want to make sure that something is done properly, publicly, that everybody knows, that has to be done with 10 people that everybody will become well aware what happened. Like we find this in another place. He said, bring to me 10 people, and I want to publicize Allah in front of them. If somebody gives over ownership to a fetus in its mother's womb, kana. But says the Gemara, because he holds that you could give ownership to somebody, even if it's a dovah shaloi bala oilam. That's one pshat. The other pshat is that he holds that an uber is considered a dovah habala oilam. But the halacha, says the Gemara, is that a mazakal uber, if somebody gives ownership to an uber, it's loikana, the uber is not considered a dovah habala oilam. Tana rabbanan, mevarchim birkas chasanim, beis chasanim. When we do the chuppah, when the chassan is marrying the kala, doing the suin, that's when we say the sheva brachas. Even by erisin, mevarchin asai. Om Abaya, says the Gemara, where was this halacha said that we say birchas sheva brachas even by erisin? In Yehuda. Because says the Gemara, there their minig was shemashachrima. The kala and the chassan would remain secluded. And since they would remain secluded, it was very common that they're going to end up doing bia, and since they're very common, they're going to do bia, that's why they could say sheva brachas even on the erison. I saw a very nice pshat why in Yehuda they were so anxious to do bia so early, because they had a Kabbalah, they had a Messiah, the Mashiach will be born in Yehuda. So they were anxious to have this chassan and kala have relations, because ultimately, by them having these relations, they're going to perhaps bring the birth of Mashiach. Tanya idach, mevarchas berachas chasanim beis chasanim, or berachas erisim beis erisim, by the Kedushin. Ask the Gemara, berachas erisim mai mevarach, says the Gemara, Rav bin Barav Ada, Rav Barav Ada, Tavai Mishmeid Rav Yehuda Amri, Baruch Ata Hashem al Kedem Melech Oilam, Asher Kedishonim Mitzvoysov, V'tzivanu al Arroyos, this is the berachas erisim, that we have to stay away from the rayas, vasalana arusas, as long as a woman is only muresas, we may not have relations with her, vitalana and nesuas, but once we have nesuin, we may have relations with our wives, ade chupa v'kedushin. Rav Acha b'rei d'rav m'sayim b'mishmeid Rav Yehuda, baruch ato Hashem, mekadesh Yisrael, ade chupa v'kedushin. Says the Gemara, man d'loy chasim, the opinion that doesn't have this extra bacha, we either have a brichas peris, brichas mitzvahs. We know that we make a brichas a peris, we make a brichas mitzvahs, the halacha is that we don't say bracha twice. Man, the chasim, and the one that says two brachas, holds me to have a kedusha. Just like by kiddush, there are two brachas, here too, we have two brachas. As we mentioned, what is the point of this whole bracha? The bracha is to indicate that we're showing what happens at a Jewish marriage. Moreover, as we know, the halacha is that when such a bracha is made, when the brachas erison is made, it should be made with at least 10 people there, because the bracha is supposed to be made with a minion of people, should have a minion of people when the bracha is recited.